I'm Marco Werman. This is The World. Thank you for being with us. We've got a show on tap today that has a lot of connections to the global nation that is the U.S. We'll go to Long Island, where immigrant activists have been reminded of a 2008 hate crime there. We'll meet an American cellist navigating her Haitian roots. And we'll speak with a father and daughter from Venezuela, now in the States, who are closely watching what the Supreme Court has to say about President Obama's executive actions on immigration. But we thought we'd raise the curtain in a poetic way with a poet. The immigrant experience, of course, is so vastly different from person to person. But 28-year-old Ocean Vuong captures what he experienced brilliantly. Ocean Vuong's first book of poems, Night Sky with Exit Wounds, came out this month to rave reviews. Vuong was born on a rice farm outside Saigon in 1988. When he was 2 years old, he and six of his relatives called home a one-bedroom apartment in a housing project in Hartford, Connecticut.
It was unfurnished, except for a pile of blankets in the corner, and that was donated by the local church. So it looked like a large field with this mountainous bundle of cloth at the corner of it, and we just sort of acclimated there. I remember our first night we had KFC, which my family still calls to this day Old Man Chicken because of Colonel Sanders' face on the buckets. And that was our first night in America. I remember it was very cold. The snow was starting, and you could hear it crackling on the tenement windows. And we were dipping into this seemingly miraculous bucket of chicken and drinking the tea that we brought with us. And we started to tell stories and make it through our first night.
You told stories because you had no radio and you had no TV, right?
Yeah. That was how we managed, which is how it always was in Vietnam anyways. Mm. And so we were quite happy. You know, we really believed that this was the height of American living.
So 1988, I mean, that's a good 10 years plus after the end of the war. What motivated you and your family to come to the States?
My grandfather is an American vet, and we lost track of him after the war. But he found us, and he helped sponsor us to America.
Your relatives were unable to speak or read English, but you couldn't read Vietnamese either, right?
Right. No one could read. And the Reconstruction era in Vietnam was horrid. People were cutting their rice rations with sawdust, my family included. And so education was a sort of luxury that you couldn't afford. It was either eat or go to school, and most people chose to eat.
Right. Ocean, can you tell us about your poem, Obad with Burning City? What is the context? What does it mean?
Obad is traditionally a poem that is about departure, often in the morning, between two lovers. My version of Obad deals with the collapse and the fall of Saigon. The American army is pulling out of Saigon and leaving the southern Vietnamese army there.
And then there's this kind of almost surreal tip of the hat to Irving Berlin's White Christmas, this code for when the Operation Frequent Wind, this evacuation of Americans would begin, that you fold into the poem. Could you read us the first 10 lines or so?
Yes.
Milk flower petals in the street, like pieces of a girl's dress. May your days be merry and bright. He fills a teacup with champagne, brings it to her lips. Open, he says. She opens. Outside, a soldier spits out his cigarette as footsteps fill the square like stones fallen from the sky. May all your Christmases be white as the traffic guard unstraps his holster.
The kudos you're getting, Ocean, for your writing, what do you think Americans are seeing in your words that they haven't seen before?
I would hope that they see themselves, because I am an American. This is our inheritance as a country. You know, the war does not end necessarily when the troops pull out. There is a whole legacy and lives that are left over that continue and find their way and point their way and trace their way back to an American politics. So I would hope that they see a reflection and a brother of theirs.
So when you say it's important to look back on your family's early days in Vietnam without nostalgia, are you basically saying that the whole continuum is now and then?
Yes. Very recently in our history in America, we hear of Iraq and Afghanistan being another Vietnam, right? And I think it's very important for us to not necessarily see time as this linear passage where something is over, something is all the way back there in the past. The ramifications operate to me more like a spiral. As we move through time, we're spiraling out, but we keep coming back to the epicenter of violence. And ultimately, and unfortunately, we start to repeat ourselves.
You know, for me, I watched the Vietnam War sporadically on TV as a kid, and today I find it just weird to go buy a pair of sneakers, for example, and see that they were made in Vietnam. You ever have that experience here, and how does that make you feel?
Absolutely. The Vietnamese will tell you that they are beyond it, too, which, you know, I don't know how comfortable I am with that. When I went back to Vietnam in 2008 to bury my grandmother, I felt more American than I ever did in America because I was brought up by these Vietnamese women from the rice farm in Hartford, Connecticut, and their values, their stories were from 1988, the legacy of war. And so when I came back, everyone was talking about iPhones. Mm-hmm. Everyone was talking about Nike sneakers. And they didn't want to talk about the war. They wanted to see it as an unnecessary evil that was over and that they had to just forget about and move on, which was very jarring for me. And I realized how American I was coming back to the country of my birth.
So finally, Ocean, you were born Vinh Quoc Vong. Tell us about your mom, because this is a beautiful story, how you came to be called Ocean.
Yeah. My mom works in a nail salon. She still does, like many Vietnamese people. And I think a lot of Vietnamese people learn English while working in a nail salon. And that's what my mother did. It was a hot summer day in Hartford, and she wanted to tell the customer. They were chatting, and she said, "I want to go to the beach." But she couldn't pronounce beach, and so she said, "I wanted to go to the bitch." Mm-hmm. I don't know if I'm allowed to say that.
You certainly can.
But anyway, so the customer said, "Well, maybe you should try ocean. It's not the exact same thing, but we will get the idea." And my mother inquired, like, "What exactly is the ocean?" And, you know, they said it describes as a body of water. And my mother realized that in a map, she saw the Pacific Ocean touching both countries, America and Vietnam, and she decided to name me after one of the first words that she learned on her own, that she come to learn and utilize on her own. And so that's how it came about. But it's not unfamiliar to name your child after nature in Vietnam. Mm. So she thought it was quite normal. She expected Americans to have similar names. Her name herself is Hong, which means rose petal. And my aunts are named after lilies and lilacs, and there's people named after mountains. And so she thought it was very normal for me to be Ocean. Little did she know, it was so odd.
Ocean Vong's first book of poetry, Night Sky with Exit Wounds, came out this month. Ocean, great to meet you. Thank you so much.
Thank you.
By the way, Ocean Vong will be at the Split This Rock Poetry Festival in Washington, D.C. this weekend. If you can't make it, we have the full version of his poem, Obad with Burning City, online at PRI.org.